Hey everybody, Nick Espinoza, your chief security fanatic here, and it is Sunday, so we are doing Breaches of the Week. And as always, this week in data breaches was absolutely insane. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done a full data breaches because last week was a special episode on fake data breaches, but we're going to dive right in. And as always, I want to thank the following people that sent me a lot of this information, and that would be Jay Dance, Joe DiBiase, Alex Sapone, Jacqueline Wolf, and Clark Soren. Thank you very much, and please keep sending those tips my way. And with that, let's start in the United States with Hot Topic. If you were a teenager at some point in the last 30 years, you probably know who they were. Now, their shoppers may have had some of their personal information accessed by attackers after they announced a data breach. Now, the company identified, quote, suspicious login activity to certain Hot Topic Rewards customer accounts, end quote, according to an email sent out to customers. Hot Topic's investigation found that the attack basically was, quote, unauthorized parties launching automated attacks, end quote, against their website and mobile application in 2023. We're talking November 18th and 19th and November 25th. Of last year, according to their notice. The attackers obtained valid account credentials, including email addresses and passwords from, quote, unknown third-party sources, end quote, and then logged into shoppers' accounts. In other words, they're saying they weren't breached, but y'all are using passwords other places, and so password spraying attack, here we go. Quote, Hot Topic was not the source of the account credentials used in these attacks, according to their email. So, again, make sure you're using unique passwords for everything you do and enabling that multi-factor authentication. Moving on, let's head on over to Washington State and talk about the Bethel School District, because in the letter that they sent, the district alerted everyone that an investigation found someone or some entity was able to access and steal files from certain systems within their network between February 12th and the 13th of this year. Now, 1 week later, the school district said that those files included names and other personal information. Quote, we are unaware of misuse of information related to this event, unquote. But here's the thing. Several parents and staff are now saying that they have become victims to identity theft with credit cards opened in their names. Now, KOMO News, which is the local source in Washington that I'm cribbing from, asked essentially the district specifically about the teachers having to continue without internet. And essentially they responded that they were without internet from February 13 to 15th plus for half a day on February 21. In other words, they might have identified it around that period and essentially are knocking that down because again, they stated the 12th to the 13th. So hopefully everybody will get back into shape, but Bethel School District, parents and teachers, heads up to you. Moving on. Let's do our mini segment simply entitled, If You Just Paid for Cybersecurity, You Wouldn't Be Getting Sued, You Wouldn't Have Your Reputation Damaged. And we are going to start with Change Healthcare, the worst healthcare data breach, I think, in the United States, with over one-third of every single pharmacy patient in the United States being affected. Now, Change Healthcare said on Wednesday, April 3rd, that they asked a U.S. court panel to designate Nashville, Tennessee, as the place to consolidate at least 24 class actions and growing, accusing the payment processor of failing to protect the basically personal data and personal health information from their massive attack back in February. Now, Change, for the record, is based in Nashville, Tennessee, and the company said in its filing that the federal court there was well prepared to oversee a large consolidated legal proceeding, and large this is going to be. So I think this may be, when all is said and done, probably because they're going to be found guilty. I would put money on that. And again, they've got to put up a defense, so I could be wrong. But I think they're going to be found guilty, and I think this may be the single largest data breach payout we see in class action history to date. It is that big. And so I'll keep you up to date on that one. Moving on, let's talk about Hanes Brands. These obviously are the makers of Hanes underwear, et cetera, which I'll talk about in a second. But they basically said they would reimburse victims of a May 2022 data breach for their out-of-pocket losses and allow them a choice of additional relief under a proposed deal filed in federal court. Now, Nicole Toussaint and Veronica Roman allege that Hanes brands, and as I mentioned, they have clothing lines like Hanes, Champion, and Bonds, they failed to implement adequate data security procedures and protection, or even encrypt sensitive data, basically as a result of this incident, which led to the exposure of about 75,000 people's information. They filed a motion for preliminary approval of the settlement Tuesday in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina. So we're going to see where that goes, but obviously heads up if you got caught up in the Hanes Corp data breach. Moving on, let's talk about X Corp, a.k.a. Twitter, a.k.a. Elon Musk's playground. Now, X Corp must face a proposed class action alleging that it negligently allowed criminals to gain access to the personal information of about 200 million users of its platform that was exposed by a software glitch and therefore ended up on sale on the dark web. Now, the plaintiffs, Stephen Gerber, Eric Cohen, and Casey Weitzman, allege that the defect in the application programming interface for X, formerly known as Twitter, from June of 2021 through January of 2022, when it was called Twitter, allowed cybercriminals to obtain users' usernames, display names, email addresses, phone numbers, and account creation data. So, heads up to you if you were caught in that. I had a Twitter account, aka X account, now during that time period. So, here we are. That said, I did not give Twitter my phone number, as I use an authenticator app, which is more secure than a phone number, and you should too. Moving on, let's talk about Care First, because more than 1 million customers whose personal information was disclosed in a 2014 data breach suffered by Care First can bring their contract claims against the health insurer as a class, despite their potential recovery being limited to nominal damages, and that is according to a ruling in federal court. Now, Care First's alleged breach of contract with the patients constituted a concrete injury sufficient for standing for all proposed class members. That's according to Judge Christopher Cooper of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, the capital, on March 29th. So we'll see where that goes. And with that, those are the ones getting sued today and or this past week or so. And again, if they had just paid for cybersecurity, they wouldn't be getting sued, having to pay out, and they wouldn't have their reputations ruined, although you could probably argue about Elon Musk ruining Twitter's reputation all by himself without needing a class action, but I digress. And moving on, back to regular data breaches, let's talk about Cancer Treatment and Research Center, City of Hope, out of California. Now, their data breach occurred between September 19th and October 12th of last year, and the center noted in a notification letter to impacted individuals that basically, we're in trouble because during that time frame, an unauthorized third-party access, a subset of the City of Hope systems, and copied files containing the affected individual's information. The stolen data, according to the organization, includes, and you know what's coming, names, date of birth, email addresses, phone numbers, driver's license, IDs, social security, bank account numbers, credit card details, health insurance information, and medical information as well. More than enough to run an identity theft scam. So heads up to you if you basically use the City of Hope Cancer and Treatment and Research Center, and hopefully you're going to kick cancer soon. Moving on. Let's talk about South State Bank. Now, their customers are learning that some of their account data was compromised nearly 2 months ago in a cybersecurity breach that has since been contained, according to them. South State told investors and stock market regulators on March 29th that based on their investigation, they've decided to notify an undisclosed number of, quote, individuals whose personal information may have been involved, end quote. That's according to a report in local news. Now, customers in the Northeast Georgia area began receiving letters notifying them of this data breach. Now, according to this letter, on February 7th of this year, unauthorized access was gained to folders on its network containing customers' names, financial account information, and social security numbers as well. So heads up to you, South State Bank customers. Moving on, let's talk about audio and wearable brands Boat. Apparently they are out of India. Now, customer data for over 7.5 million Boat, and it is spelled boat like I'm going to take a boat out on the river, customers have basically appeared on the dark web, 7.5 million. Now, personally identifiable information such as names, address, contacts, numbers, email IDs, customer IDs, and more is available for purchase. The threat actor has leaked about 2 gigabytes of data on hacking forums. On April 5th, an attacker named Shopify Guy claimed to have breached the data of essentially Boat And essentially, they dumped what they are saying is 750,000 entries. Excuse me, there's a comma where there shouldn't be out of the copy and paste of the publication. Again, translated from Indian into English. Moving on, let's talk about Bowdoin Barlow Law. Now, on March 28th of this year, they basically provided notice of incident potentially impacting individuals, and here we are. So what we're talking about are individuals' names, dates of birth, account numbers, social security numbers, health insurance information, claims information, and treatment information. Now, we know this, that Bowdoin Barlow Law got hit because the disclosure was actually on behalf of Florida Pediatric Associates, who had to declare a HIPAA data breach, and by virtue of that, essentially named Bowdoin Barlow Law essentially for that. So I'm guessing they're billing or something else. But heads up to you, if you are either a member or a customer or a patient of Florida Pediatric Associates or Bowdoin Barlow Law, which apparently I can't pronounce five times to save my life. Moving on. Let's head on over to China and talk about e-commerce platform PandaBuy. Now, they apologized after two cyber criminals were spotted hawking personal data belonging to 1.3 million of its customers. Now, a user with the alias Sanjirio originally advertised the data for sale on a cybercrime forum, saying that the information spans nearly 3 million rows in a spreadsheet. It allegedly includes user IDs, full names, phone numbers, email addresses, IP addresses, home addresses, and other data as well. PandaBuy is a Chinese-based shipping platform that allows customers to purchase goods directly from Chinese vendors, essentially a middleman service with the idea that it saves consumers time and money on the same goods that it would otherwise buy at established retailers. Seems like a pretty good idea. Now, the data stolen from the company was made available for download on March 31st, and security experts raced to verify the authenticity following the leak that, basically on the leak that day. Now, Microsoft's Troy Hunt confirmed basically on the Have I Been Pwned platform. I cannot speak today. Have I Been Pwned platform that he created, that 1.3 unique million email addresses were indeed compromised. So you can go over to Have I Been Pwned and check it if you're a member or a user of PandaBuy. Moving on, and I'm going to screw this word up, but let's talk about the Otolaryngology Associates. That's obviously medical. Now on April 1st, those associates, I'm just going to say that, filed the notice of data breach with Health and Human Services in the U.S. Office of Civil Rights for a HIPAA breach. Now, in this notice, they explain that the incident resulted in an unauthorized party being able to access consumer-sensitive information, which included names, social security numbers, driver's license, medical record numbers, codes related to services provided, dates of service, treating physician names, appointment locations, dollar amounts of charges, and names of insurance companies. They are sending out information letters as well to those affected. 316,000 apparently are caught up in this. So heads up, Otolaryngology Associates. Again, yeah, if you're a longtime follower, you know this is me. Anyway, Q Financial is up next. No relation, I assume, to the Star Trek god. Now, on March 29, 2024, Q Financial filed a notice with Maine after discovering software developed by a third-party vendor contained a vulnerability, which then allowed attackers to access confidential consumer information. Now, in this notice, Q Financial explained that the incident resulted in an unauthorized party being able to access consumer-sensitive information. We're talking names and social security numbers. They've sent out letters as well. 211,650 consumers were affected. So heads up to you. Captain Picard, not a fan. Moving on, Benefit Management Corp. Now, on March 29th of this year, they filed notice with Massachusetts after discovering that somebody was able to access their network. And in this notice, they explained the sensitive information that was hit was essentially customers of Osaic Wealth, which includes names, social security numbers, and financial account information. This is a third-party data breach. After completing investigation, they've sent out letters. I do not have a body count on this one. Sucks either way. Moving on, Pacific Guardian Life Insurance on April 4th of this year. Pacific Guardian Life filed notice with Maine after discovering an unauthorized party in their environment. They explained sensitive information access with names and social security numbers, as well as financial account information. They are sending out notices as well to 167,103 individuals. So heads up to you if you use Pacific Guardian Life for all your insurance needs. Moving on, let's head on over to Andor Labs, no relation to Star Wars, if we're doing Trek, let's do Star Wars. On March 18th of this year, they filed with Health and Human Services, Office of Civil Rights for the government. And in this notice, they explained that sensitive information was accessed. I do not have a list of that, but they are sending out notices as well. So heads up to you and or labs. Make sure you're hiding from the Empire. Moving on. Panera Bread, yes, everybody's eating at Panera Bread if you're in the United States in an urban area. They suffered a massive system outage on March 22nd that impacted its internal IT systems, phones, point of sales, website, and mobile apps. In other words, they got shut down hard. Now, as the systems were down, employees could not access their shift details. They had to contact managers and learn when to come into work, et cetera, et cetera. Their week-long outage was caused by a ransomware attack, according to people familiar with the matter, and emails seen by the publication Bleeping Computer. Now, Bleeping Computer also learned that a ransomware attack encrypted many of their virtual machines, meaning the server infrastructure that was probably running the whole shebang-a-bang, preventing, obviously, access to data and applications. The company has since restored some of those systems from backup. Now, as of April 5th, it is unclear which ransomware gang is responsible for the attack. None have claimed responsibility as of April 5th. This also suggests that the attackers are either waiting for a ransom payment or they may have already received one. So we're going to see what happens there. But heads up, if you work for, shop at, or want to shop at, eat at Panera Bread, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about AT&T. Yes, one of the major cell carriers, either them or Verizon are larger. I think Verizon's larger, but AT&T is up there. This is a bad one. Now, on Saturday, March 30th, they had an announcement addressing this data breach, and AT&T said that a data set found on the dark web contained information including some social security numbers and passcodes for about 7.6 million current account holders and 65.4 million former account holders. That's right. We're talking about over 70 million combined here, and that's absolutely nuts. Wow. Now, whether this data originated from AT&T or one of its vendors is still unknown, adding that it had launched an investigation into this incident. AT&T has also begun notifying customers whose personal information was compromised, and odds are you're going to get a notification. We're talking full names, email, mailing address, phone numbers, dates of birth, and AT&T account numbers may have been compromised. Now, the impacted data for non-current members is from 2019 and earlier and does not appear to include financial information or call history. Now, I think this is interesting because it must have been about 15, 20 years ago or so where I was an AT&T cellular customer. I no longer use their service, which means I may have stuff caught up in there. But interestingly enough, I no longer have that phone number. I no longer live at that address. My point is information changes. And so if you're going through a data breach, understand that while you may have data exposed, so why bother to, you know, protect yourself? That's exactly why we move, we change phone numbers, we get married, we get divorced, we might change our name as a result of that. We have kids, you know, like you might get a citizenship from another country. Like there's a whole bunch of things that potentially go on when you have data. Data ages, or when you live your life, because data ages. And so keep that in mind as you're going through that. And with that, let's move on to the Home Depot. And if you're in the United States, you've shopped at the Home Depot. That's simply what we do. Now, Intel Broker, that's a gang I've talked about quite a lot. They are claiming the Home data breach on April 5th of this year. Now, the Home Depot data leak allegedly exposes sensitive information belonging to its employees. The intrusion has seen the release of a database containing the personal details of approximately 10,000 Home Depot employees. Now, the leaked information includes full names and email addresses of the employees, fosters basically an emergency situation with risks such as spear phishing attacks and identity theft. And that was a total run-on sentence from my notes, but that's exactly what we're talking about here, as we are talking about identity theft for all of these. So there you go. This has not been officially confirmed by Home Depot as of right now, as I'm talking to you, or independent cybersecurity experts. But obviously, if you work for Home Depot, this is a huge issue. It also begs the point, is there going to be more data that is potentially released? Meaning maybe they started with the employee data and they eventually get to the customer data. And a lot of us have Home Depot accounts. I don't think I do, but I shop at Home Depot like everybody else. So there you go. Now with that, we've got a couple finalies for you this week. Now, the first one is the Open Worldwide Application Security Project Foundation. You might know them as OWASP. That's right, OWASP. Now, this is a standard that we use in cybersecurity, basically of critical points for software development to make sure that as we are developing applications, they're actually secure. The foundation themselves is one of the finalies, which means this is a black eye to the security and cybersecurity community. Now, with tens of thousands of members, the OWASP Foundation is an online community, as I mentioned, that seeks to improve software security through open source projects and freely available articles, documentations, technologies, tools for IoT, software, web applications, etc. When we are doing assessments of software development, we are oftentimes using the OWASP standard to verify that security is good, among other frameworks as well. Now, on March 29th, OWASP revealed that a misconfiguration in its old wiki server resulted in the exposure of information provided in resumes of aspiring members that were required to submit them over a decade ago. So this is older data. And again, I just talked about how data ages. Now, OWASP was launched in September of 2001. And as part of its early membership processes, members were required to show a connection to the community. It collected resumes between 2006 through 2014. Quote, if you were an OWASP member from 2006 to around 2014 and provided your resume as part of joining OWASP, we advise assuming your resume was part of this breach. End quote. That's according to the foundation. And I would hope that your resume has changed in the last 10 years. That 2014 was, because it's been a decade since 2014. And that's absolutely crazy. And they started in September of 2001, which I didn't realize. What a month to start and year to start the OWASP Foundation. Wow. Now, the information exposed according to OWASP is what you would see on a resume. So name, email, phone number, you know, those kinds of things, addresses as well, other personally identifiable information you chose to share on your resume. Now, after identifying the misconfiguration in February of this year, they reviewed the wiki configuration from other security weaknesses, removed the resumes from the site, disabled directory browsing, purged their Cloudflare cache, that's their content delivery network, and requested for the data to be removed from their web archive. So they did one heck of a cleanup job here. OWASP says it's in the process of notifying those impacted individuals via the email addresses identified during their investigation. So obviously, that's a huge thing. And if you are a member of the OWASP Foundation, one, you're doing the Cyber Lord's work. Two, it's a black eye for cybersecurity community. And believe me, we all think this one sucks. And three, I hope you were not affected. And finally, the other finally we've got here is interesting. It's short, but I think it's an important one because I'm talking about an analysis of S&P 500 firms and basically 2023 data breaches. Now, if you don't know what the S&P 500 is, it's simply a bellwether of some of the major companies in the world and their performance. And so if the S&P 500 is doing well, it's a good indicator that basically the world is doing well financially, or bad and bad. So there you go. Now, here's what happened in 2023 in regards to the S&P 500 and data breaches. 21 of the S&P companies have been subjected to data breaches in that year, indicating that basically they have attractiveness as cyber attack targets due to obviously the lucrative businesses that they are bringing in. Now, this is according to the publication SiliconANGLE. Now, despite having more comprehensive security systems, financial services and insurance organizations accounted for one quarter of the breach companies last year, while more than half of the cyber attacks involved personal data compromise, according to the report from Security Scorecard, which provided an F rating. That's F as in failure score on social engineering risk for S&P 500 firms due to the findings. And these are the companies, for the record, that have the money to train their people incredibly well. That's an awful, terrible score. That's the worst score you can possibly get. That's repeating third grade, you know, honestly. Now, the report also showed that ransomware hit S&P 500 organizations were demanded to pay eight-figure ransoms on average, with ransom amounts calculated based on the market cap and workforce size of the targeted companies, which is exactly what these attackers are doing. They're running reconnaissance. We've had market cap sizes and analysis done by attackers on clients that we basically are called into that have data breaches. In other words, they've never worked with us, but they need somebody for incident response to shepherd them through this. They'll give us a call, and literally we've seen ransoms of $75,000, which might be a huge ransom. ransom for a smaller business into the tens of millions, which again is a tough pill to swallow. And so the goal is to balance what will they actually pay, understanding that odds are you're going to negotiate that down versus what you're essentially really going to pay. So I think it's something that is super, super important that we understand how that works. And on S&P 500 firms, eight-figure ransoms are not unheard of at all. Now, on top of this, most of these companies were found to be involved with a breached third party. Now, if you're a longtime listener, follower, or watcher of Breaches of the Week, you know that like half of what I do is third-party vendors just getting hit. Look at MoveIt. Thousands of companies got hit by that, SolarWinds, et cetera, et cetera. It also suggests that this is increasingly prevalent in terms of targeting corporate vendors and partners that facilitate systems compromise. In other words, if I can hit your medical biller, I might be able to then take the information from your super wealthy hospital and then ransom you as well. Quadruple extortion. So such findings then follow new Security and Exchange Commission breach notification rules mandating cyber incident disclosures within 4 days of discovery. I've talked about that outside of Breaches of the Week, and that is a huge thing. So that is absolutely crazy. But when you are looking at the bellwether that is the S&P 500 and you're looking at 23 breaches, that is a huge amount of money, a huge amount of black eye, and a whole lot of failure grades from security scorecards. So there you go. Those are your breaches of the week. Were you affected? You probably were. Let's just go with yes. And please like, share, follow me here on Facebook and Twitter at NickAESP. And please feel free to subscribe to me at YouTube as well. And as always, stay safe, stay online, and please, just please, attempt to stay private. Thanks, everybody.